In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised. May his name be praised in your heart. May his name be praised in your being. May you know the power that and the love that he called you to today. I'm looking at the scripture today. I want you to hear God's word. God's word is like a two-edged sword. God's word does what it says. It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful weapon. It's not only a weapon, it encourages us. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 30. "And it came to pass that when King David and his men had come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and they had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away captive and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned." This is David's city. "And it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." Now, David had two wives at this time. One was Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, who was Nabal's wife after he died. They were both taken away. All the city was burned. Now, how is David going to respond? That his city, his house, his wives, his children are all gone. "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." You see, they didn't pretend. They wept. They mourned. There's a time for mourning. "Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted." They wept until they couldn't weep anymore. Have you ever done that? I have. You wept until you couldn't weep anymore. I tell you, it's a grace. It's a grace. People are afraid to weep because they're afraid they're not going to stop. But I'm telling you, you'll stop. Sometimes you've got to weep until you can't weep anymore. So David wept until he couldn't weep anymore. Then the scripture says, "And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelitess. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved." In other words, their families have been taken away captive. Their houses have been burned. Do you understand this? Their city is gone. Their children are gone. So the men of David, what do they want to do? They want to kill David. They want to stone David because David's the captain, because David's the king, because David is the leader. They're angry, and it's misplaced. It's misplaced, but you know what? How many times do we misplace our anger? How many times do we... They want to stone David. We have no children. Our homes are burned. We have nothing in our city. You led this army. While we were gone, look what they did. Look what they did. Our children are gone. Our wives are being raped. They wanted to stone David. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." What did David do? Went to pray. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He started to worship. He went to the Lord. He encouraged himself. He went to God. He went to the secret place of the Most High. He went to pray. He went to worship. He took his little harp and started to praise God. Oh, maybe he started to sing, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O God. Lord, hear my voice and let my supplication come unto thee." Or maybe he cried, "I waited and waited for the Lord. And I waited and waited and waited for the Lord. And he stooped down and took me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon a rock." Maybe he sang that. Maybe he sang, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But you see, I'm going to tell you, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He got in the place where God was, in that secret place, and began to seek the Lord. Because, you know, they want to stone him. They want to kill him. They want to kill him. Like, what do you do when people want to kill you? You're their leader. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to seek the Lord. This is something, you know, that we need to learn. This is something that we need to learn, that when everything goes wrong, we need to do what David did. We need to go encourage ourselves in the Lord. When all of our life is turned into ashes, what do we need to do? We need to go encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to get a praise music on and start jumping up and down or clapping or doing something. And if you can't jump, and recently I can't jump, you can rock. You can get in a chair and rock. You can open your mouth and sing. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can also think, well, you know what, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. That'll get you no place. That'll get you no place. You want to be doomed, you'll be doomed, okay? Or you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can get in a place where God Almighty is, where God Almighty will meet you, where Jesus Christ will meet you, where the Holy Spirit will meet you. You can pour out your heart like water to Him. You can pour out your soul. You can get on the floor. You can get on your face. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue them, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all." He encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. He spoke to him. He spoke to him. "Go pursue them. Go get your wives back. Go get your children back. Go and pursue them, and you shall overtake them." This was guidance from heaven. This was guidance from God. This was guidance. This was guidance that the Lord gave him. You can go get them now. You can go do what I'm calling you to do. And so David went. He and his 600 men with him. And they came to the brook Besor, where they were left behind and stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which was so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. In other words, they were so scared. So only 400 brave men, 200 scared out of their wits. They don't know what to do. They will not cross the brook. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate. And they gave him water, and he drank. And they gave him a piece of cake and figs, two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, "To whom do you belong?" Oh, what a question. Can I ask you that question? To whom do you belong? Do you belong to Jesus? I do. To whom do you belong? I don't care what's happening in your life. To whom do you belong? Like, to whom do you belong? That's a straightforward question I'm asking you today. I belong to Jesus. Even if my house is burnt down, even if they've taken my kids away, even if the radio ministry isn't working, who do you belong to? I belong to Jesus. And you know what Jesus says? Through St. Paul, God works all things together for the good to those who love him. All things together for the good. Romans 8:28. Do you know, if you belong to Jesus and you love him, God works all things together for the good to those who love him. That's for you. That's for you. That's for you. That's for you. That's for me. Not only for a couple of people. That's for us. But to whom do you belong? Do you know who you belong to? You know, that's the whole point. We're living as orphans, as if God died. We're living as if we don't have any recourse. I told you a couple of weeks ago, we have access into the Holy of Holies. We have access through the blood of Jesus into the Holy of Holies. To whom do you belong? He shed his blood for you. To whom do you belong? Are you going to let yourself be beaten up by circumstances? Are you going to let yourself be beaten up by the devil? Are you going to let yourself be beaten up by your past? To whom do you belong? Stand up and say, I belong. And you put the name in. You put the name in. You belong to money? No, I belong to Jesus. Belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. So, David said, to whom do you belong? And whence art thou? Where'd you come from? He said, I am a young man of Egypt. I am a servant of an Amalekite. Remember, the Amalekites destroyed the city. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. Well, you know what? Do we do that in the church? Like, I'm asking a question. We see someone that's broken, someone that's needy, someone that's poor, and we just let them stay there? These were pagans that did that to this man. They just left him alone. Left him alone to die like a dog. To die like a dog. Even dogs die better than this. Do we do the same thing in the church? That we see somebody that's a little strange? You know, they're a little strange, and we walk the other way. You know what I'm saying? We leave them alone to die because they're not part of the beautiful people, because they don't have a nice eye pan or smile, because they're a little off key, because maybe they're afraid and they've got depression in their eyes. Let me tell you about a lady who comes on Saturday. This lady, we have our healing service on Saturday after the 5:30 Mass. You're always welcome. But let me tell you what happened. This lady has come 2 weeks. And the first week she came, she started to weep. She says, I don't remember anything. She has Alzheimer's. I took her by the hand. I looked into her face. I looked into her eyes. And I said, you're so beautiful. Do you think so? I said, yes, you are. You're so beautiful. And Jesus really loves you. And we're going to sing songs to Jesus, and you're going to sing with me. And she did. And she did. And she did. She came back the next week, and she said, I forget everything. And I said, oh, but you're so beautiful. She says, Father, you're so kind. I said, oh, I'm not being kind. I'm telling you, you are so beautiful. And Jesus loves you so much. And we're going to continue to sing. That night, she left with a twinkle in her eye. She did not come with a twinkle in her eye. She came with depressed eyes. I know depressed eyes. I've seen them. I've seen them in myself. I know when people are depressed. I just need to look in their eyes. Their eyes tell me everything. But at the end of the service, she left with her husband with a little twinkle in her eye. Oh, they left this Egyptian to die because he was sick. Do we do the same thing to people? Like, do we do the same thing to people? People that God sends to us because they're not beautiful, because they don't have money, because they're poor and broken. I'll tell you, if we do that to the poor and the broken, we do it to Jesus Christ. I just want you to know that. It is time for the church to care for the broken. It is time for the church to care for the poor. It is time for the church to care for those that nobody else wants, because they're the greatest converts, and God gives them great power. I had an aunt that came to me so depressed. This was way before I was a priest. So depressed. That's all I can tell you. So depressed. My Uncle Jerry did not even know what he was going to do with Aunt May. She was in the depths of a nervous breakdown. She was in the depths of brokenness. Everyone was sick of her because she was so broken. She came to my house and she said, "You got to help me." I took her into my bedroom and I told Auntie May, "Auntie May, Jesus loves you, and I know you don't feel that, but we're going to pray a simple prayer. We ask Jesus to come into her heart, to forgive her sins, and to give her new life, the Holy Spirit." It seemed like nothing happened that day. I will say it again. It seemed like nothing happened that day. But something great happened that day. 2 weeks later, some people called my aunt up and picked her up to bring her to a prayer group in Everett. My aunt's life was completely changed. For years and years and years, she became the great warrior of prayer. The great warrior, she would sit before the Blessed Sacrament and she would pray for the sick. When priests were sick, they'd call Aunt May. When people were hopeless, they'd call Aunt May. When babies wouldn't be born, they'd call Aunt May. She was the broken of the broken. And she was esteemed by God. And God changed her through the Holy Spirit. This Egyptian man, he says the Amalekites left him. You know why? Because he fell sick. And I think we do the same thing in the church. We see the sick that don't get better, and we turn our backs on them. Well, you see, the devil does that. He doesn't turn his back. He goes after them. People that are sick and broken need pastoral care. I'm not telling you we can heal them, but we can love them. I'm not telling we can be their solution, because Jesus is the solution, but we can love them, and we can pray with them, and we can pray with them, and we can assure them of God's mercy and love. That's what they did in that beautiful Everett prayer group that used to meet at St. Joe's in Everett. It's now closed, the church, but that's what they used to do, these beautiful people. Marie and Frank, oh, they all went to heaven now. Carmella, she's now in heaven. They took my Aunt May and my Aunt Alda and made them women of God. That's what they did. Women of God. That's what they did. You want to know why? Because they cared enough to care. They cared enough to pray. They cared enough to love them. That's right. I tell you, my Aunt May was a basket case when she came into my bedroom, and I prayed for her. She was shaking all over. That little prayer I prayed with her released the power of God that somebody else would take care of her. That's what Paul says. Some plant and others water, but God provides the growth. I planted the seed, and it wasn't long after that the beautiful people in Everett, Marie and Frank and Carmella, they watered the seed, and it produced fruit because God provided the growth. Oh, yeah. But where would my aunt be if they didn't love her? I don't know. How many people would have been ripped off because she was the woman they called if they didn't love her? I have no idea. The world would have been a sorrier place. But because Frank and Marie and Carmela loved my aunt and took her by the hand and told her of the love of Jesus and prayed with her, even in her distress, she came out of it and became a warrior for God Almighty. My Lord, I'm not telling you fairy tales, okay? This is my aunt. And we witnessed this at WOW this week. We witnessed this with the young man when he came to me on Friday night. Scott brought him to me. I prayed with him. He had a vacant look in his face. Then they brought him to me again on Saturday, and I prayed with him again, and the power of God came on this man. He was on the floor for hours, and I'm going to tell you on Sunday he was a new man. And I'll tell you, if he was the only one I came for, it was worth it. It was worth it, because this man has a new life now. He hugged me on Sunday. I tell you, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I tell you, we cannot be like the Amalekites, that when someone is sick or poor or broken, we leave them to die. We cannot be that. That cannot be the church. The church must open her arms. The people must open their arms to the needy and the poor and the broken and the destitute. If not, the church will die, because God sends them to us. I remember Father McGann, beautiful Father McGann. He was my pastor when I was a deacon. And there was a woman there, you know, she was a street person. Father McGann, you know, couldn't heal her, but you know what he used to do? He would welcome her in the church, and he would have her fix the missalettes, and she would give her some money, and she was always welcomed, even though she smelled. Beautiful Father Frank McGann, who's still a priest in the Archdiocese, the best of the best, the best of the best. There was this street person, you know. She was living in a car, but she came to Mass every day, and he would welcome her. And when she got unruly, he would correct her. He wasn't any pushover. Yeah, I had a good pastor, I'll tell you. I saw the goodness in this man. You know, the man now is probably in his 80s, and he's still pastoring a church. What does the church do when we see the broken, the poor, the needy? Do we leave them out to die like the Egyptian? Or do we go and pray with them? Do we take them under our wing? We cannot heal, but the Holy Ghost can. I'm going to leave you with that right now, because you know what? Tomorrow we're going to continue. For the people in Arizona, I am going to be at Our Lady of Grace Church, and it's on West Honeycutt Avenue, Maricopa, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. 6:30. People in Arizona, going to have a healing service. Our Lady of Grace Church, 45295 West Honeycutt Avenue, Maricopa, Arizona. And their telephone number, 520-568-4605. 520-568-4605. 520-568-4605. That's Our Lady of Grace in West Honeycutt Avenue, 45295 West Honeycutt Avenue, Maricopa. That is tomorrow night. That's Tuesday. at 6:30, you're welcome to come. The last time we were there, we saw great miracles, great and awesome miracles. So tomorrow night is Tuesday, and you're welcome to come. They will be praising God today in Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock if you want to join them. Hallelujah. Praise God for me, okay? Praise God for me. It'll be 1 o'clock here, so I'll do a little praise here at 1. So I'll join you at 1. It's so good to be able to speak to people, even though I'm not in Boston right now. I have the means to speak because a wonderful woman has given us her phone. And I'm just going to tell you this. The Lord is into loving people. I don't know about you. The Lord is into welcoming people. I don't know about you. The Lord is into consoling and healing people. I don't know about you. The Lord cares for the lost. I don't know about you. The Lord cares for prostitutes. I don't know about you. The Lord cares for prisoners. I don't know about you. The Lord cares for the unborn. I don't know about you. The Lord cares for the women who've had abortions. I don't know about you. The Lord's arms are open to all those that are broken. And if you are one of them, just tell them, here I am, Lord. Father, pour out your spirit upon the broken now. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your love. Just open your hands. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your love. Let them feel the presence of God and draw all their brokenness into the heart of Jesus. Give them a new life, Lord, for you care for them. You care for the sick, and you would not leave the sick without food and water. You would care for the sick. So go after them, Jesus. You're the good shepherd. Go after them, Lord. Hold them close to your heart and let them know you are not an orphan. You belong to me. You belong to Jesus. Who do you belong to? I belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.